The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
Listen, I don't want to, I'm a computer guy, so I don't want a hard card. I want a technology card. So you made your own. That was like the first iteration of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And why'd you say it was junk? Like it didn't do anything?
Well, you can't.
Work?
You have to have a PDF reader. And at the time, not, you know, the readers weren't as prolific.
Right. They were all built in.
Like right. And it was, you know, you couldn't really share it that easily. And you know, it just wasn't good. So I redesigned it as an HTML landing page and started, you know, said, hey, anybody wants one, they're free. And they lined up, boy, they loved it. So it worked a lot better than I thought it would. And so we, you know, basically the whole group got them. And then we put that group on a page so that we could, on one page, so we could refer each other out. And at this point, it was just sending the URL, which you can still do with our cards. They're very easy to share.
Yeah.
Because they're just like you're sharing any URL.
Yeah, it's a website, basically. Right. A mobile website.
And so and then, you know, as anything that I do, you know, I'm always working to improve it. So we added audio to it, and then we added video to it. Then when we added the texting, it was kind of a game changer. But at some point, you know, I never really thought, I said, well, people aren't going to pay for these. I mean, they like them, but they're not going to buy
them. The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work. And they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit BeinhackerLaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview. On today's episode, I highlight one of our sponsors, one of our main sponsors, Gabe O'Neill from the Digital Business Card. His company is called Digital Accelerant. So listen to the story and how it got started. I encourage you to check out the Digital Business Card. I have a Digital Business Card myself. If you want information about my practice, you can text LAW to 21,000. And if anybody follows the show notes and would like to sign up with Gabe for a digital business card, be sure to mention that you heard about it on the podcast, and we will send you a free podcast t-shirt. So I want to thank Gabe for all the support, and I hope you enjoy the interview. All right, Gabe. So welcome. I should say welcome back to the podcast, because out of all the podcasts I've done, we had talked over the summer, I think it was, right? And the whole thing, Zoom had some problem. It wouldn't download. You tried to convert the files for me, and it never worked. And then you've been so busy, we never caught up again, right?
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical that this is going to go through, but
I'm in a different place. I'm not in my attic this time. So
gotcha.
We'll see what happens. But, you know, I want to thank you, because over the years, over the months, you've become one of my sponsors. I don't know how much business has gone your way, but I hope it has. And it's been good for me, because it allows me to, you know, to show that there's people behind us. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much.
My pleasure. Happy to be with you. I'm always telling people about my friend Mitch and and to check him out. Law to 21,000. Very good.
Yeah. So I got the, because another friend of mine is a lawyer. He texted me today and he said, or he emailed me. He says, what's your keyword with Gabe? I said, law. He's like, oh, he said, you got to think of another one. So why don't we go back a little bit and talk about, you know, where you're from, your background, and then eventually we'll get into how you started the digital business card, what it is, why is it such a great networking tool, all those types of things. Does that make sense?
Sure. Sure.
All right. Take me back to the good old days.
This is it's your show. So,
all right. So tell me where you're from originally. You're from Atlanta your whole life?
Oh, no, I was born in Iron Prior, Ontario. Near Ottawa.
Canadian.
Near Ottawa. So I actually am Canadian. I have actually have three citizenships because my grandmother came from Ireland, and there's a way to, some people in my family thought it was important to get Irish citizenship. So I kind of tagged along with that. So it's, I think I'm just afraid of getting kicked out of a country and make sure I have some other
options.
Yeah.
So you don't have dual citizenship. You have three, you're citizen of three countries.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah, you're probably the only American they'll let into Canada at this point.
Yeah, but there's no guarantees anyway. So
that's true.
So as I said, I'm just trying to keep my options open and make sure I have at least one place to go in case all hell breaks loose. But
so, did you grow up then up there?
I grew
school
up in Canada,
there. Everything.
Ottawa. Well, I was pretty young. We moved to Port Credit, Ontario, which is near Toronto, when I was in my, I was like two to the third grade. And then from third grade, we moved close to Montreal. My dad was president of Playtex in Canada. And then he was president of Tam O'Shanter, which is a clothing company. So that's where he moved to Montreal. And then he got sick of the Canadian winters. We lived right on a lake, which is really awesome because in the winter times, I could skate down to my buddy's house, which is miles away. I mean, and you ice skate, and in the middle, you see there'd be a hockey game going on and other buddies that I'd know. So I'd sit and hang out with them for a while and keep going. And then, of course, when you're a kid, you have all that energy and doesn't bother you.
You didn't care. You like the wind.
Doesn't bother you that it's 20 degrees below zero and you're out there skating on ice with the wind at you. We lived And when my dad couldn't take his Thunderbird up the icy driveway anymore, we moved to Florida.
That's a big change.
Yep. So went to high school there when the Dolphins were undefeated. So I'm still a Dolphins fan.
Okay. That was 72, right?
Yep. And then so I graduated high school and then went back up to Canada for college. From there, my brother had I got a job in Maryland. Where my brother lived, and then he had me run his bar for a while, and then I finally got into computers. But I lived in Maryland for about 37 years before we moved here, only about 2015. So,
and did you in college? Did you study computers and programming?
Nope, not the first time.
Of that stuff.
No, see, because in high school, when I went from Canada to the United States, I skipped a grade, which meant that I was much younger than everybody, and I was also the smallest. I was literally the smallest kid in the school. Right. So it wasn't, and plus it was an all boys Catholic school. So, not the best experience I'm not the highlight of my life, I will say. So when I got to college, it was like, oh man, and back to Canada I skipped another grade. So I was 2 years younger than everybody, but in Canada, they're really cool. They're very much more accepting as a culture. Like there's
no cliques or
stuff, but
leaving people.
But no,
out.
But there's one thing about them is they'll accept you with your faults, and that's one thing that I really appreciated because, here I'm 17 and these are all these people are 19 going on 20 just getting started. That was it. I got all the socialization that I missed in high school and the stuff that I was saving up for college. I put it all in those 3 years, and graduated with a general arts degree. So it wasn't until when I was about 27 and working in my brother's bar, I took a kind of a walkabout around the country for 3 months, just to see the world, to see
just
the
traveling
country.
Around.
Yep, and it was people were very they were very blunt with me. They said, you know, you have a lot of talent, but you're wasting it. What are you doing, man? You know, get some ambition.
Right.
I mean, they just
what,
say,
what year was this?
1983.
Oh, all right. Yeah. It wasn't like it was the 60s and no. Everyone's jumping into a van, you know?
No.
Right. Okay.
No, it was fun. And I remember this guy in Juneau, Alaska, which is where one of the places I wanted to be. I ended up there. I just remember sitting in this bar with this guy and it's exactly what he said to me, but they're very, in Alaska, they don't fool around. They don't fool around with niceties because there's no timing. There's no time for that. Everything is very serious, you know, because it's really in Juneau, you can only get there by boat or by plane. And if you can walk the downtown area in about 15 minutes easily. And people, and because there's a huge mountain right behind the city, and there's nothing to do there. Except
was there a movie about Juneau years ago?
No, that's J-U-N-O.
How do you spell Juneau?
That was a character. It's E-A-U. Juneau is the capital.
Oh, E-A-U.
Alaska.
Oh.
Juneau was a character in this.
Juneau is the capital movie. Of Alaska? I thought it was like Fairbanks or something.
No, it's Juneau.
Oh, okay. So, good. Yeah, learn something every day. Okay.
Yeah. And so, but I hear
Alaska is beautiful though.
Oh, it's phenomenal. But yeah. And I stayed there for 2 weeks in Juneau, and like the second week, I've done the hiking. I've done the this, I've done the that. I said, okay, what do I do? It's 11 o'clock. I might as well go to the bar. That was it. I mean, there's nothing else to do.
There's nothing. Right.
So everybody there had, they had actually partners. But the people that lived there had partners to watch each other to prevent them from killing themselves. They had suicide buddies. Yeah.
Ooh.
It was really intense. And so what I was, you know, so when I say that they don't mince words, they don't. And I appreciate it because I would say New Orleans and Alaska were the two places that I met the friendliest, most genuine people in the country. You know, and I didn't visit every state, but I visited quite a bunch of them. So I really appreciated that. And so when I got back from that trip, I said, okay, maybe I should see what's going on. Cause I had quit my job at my brother's bar. And I looked and I was in DC in the paper, that week, or in the newspaper in those times had this huge computer section. So I said, maybe I'll try that. So that was the end of it. And my brother gave me my job back so I could work that my way through school and
right.
You know, do it all over again. So that's
so,
how I got.
So what did you do? You took a programming class or was it hardware?
No,
software?
I actually went back to college. It was a technical college called Capital Tech. And I went through I got through like 3 years of it. And the actual curriculum of the school in my eyes was going downhill. And so I thought, you know, I'm not going to do this just for the sake of doing it. I probably should have transferred to University of Maryland, but I didn't. But I got a job in computers and then I just kept going from there.
And it was all programming based, like you learned how to program and things like that.
Yeah. So weird because it was so different from anything I'd ever done.
Right.
I mean, I hated math. I absolutely hated math. I would like calculus. Are you kidding me? I have to take that. I'm getting C's in it. But when you're motivated, I had calculus one, calculus two, calculus three.
So it was a lot of math.
Laplace and Fourier analysis, discrete mathematics on top of all that.
Right. But you were interested in it. So
yeah. And I was getting A's in all of it because I was just sucking it all in. It was phenomenal. It was great. So,
what in those days, what kind of languages were they programming in?
Pascal and they're Pascal and Fortran, but I was a Pascal person. I never learned Fortran, but then C, and then C++, of course. And so now it's.
Do they still use Pascal?
Oh yeah. Oh, it's funny. Some like COBOL is another big one from back then.
Yeah,
and
I remember.
They're still hiring COBOL programmers because they don't want to get rid of that humongous system that. This legacy system that still works. So there's still a market out there for those kind of people. I imagine the same for Pascal, but.
Right. Yeah. Because if not, you got to rebuild the entire system, right? With a new language. You can't just snap it on.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. All right. So that was in the mid 80s and you've been, so you went to work for corporations at that point or were you on your own?
Yeah. I worked for Booz Allen in the night. Well, actually, 93 was a highlight when we had Booz Allen had commissioned me to do a booking system for the DEA. So it was electronic fingerprints. It was the first time that people started marrying images with databases, because actually to do a JPEG file took a box that was like this big. It was like this big blue box just to render the JPEG file. Right. And there was electronic fingerprint and of course the imaging and all that, so they could do lineups and everything.
Right.
And it got so popular that, you know, and that was when Windows NT came out and we were using NT. So Microsoft actually got involved and had us present our system in front of everybody at FOSSE, the Federal Office Systems Expo in 93. So I was introduced on stage by Bill Gates at that time.
Nice.
That was very, very intense.
Yeah. I think that was one of your, remember one of your meetings?
Yeah. Yeah.
These three things are not
spot
true.
The lie. Was, spot,
right. Yeah, you said introduced by Bill Gates. People said, no, that's a lie. And you said, no, it's true. I remember that one.
Yeah. So yeah. That was fun. I mean, it was really something that it was, it was a big deal. Unfortunately, my company tripped over themselves to screw that up after we had done such a great job at getting that done. It was a 40-minute live demo, 40-minute live software demo.
Of the booking system.
Yes. And, okay. And not one glitch, right? And this was on C-SPAN. It was on TV. It was everything. Not one glitch. And then they fired my boss the following Monday. Because Booz Allen in New York was working with IBM, and they didn't want anybody working with the competition. And IBM
basically forced him out.
No, it wasn't IBM. It was Booz Allen, because somebody, one of the partners in New York, said, "Hey, I don't want you guys working with Microsoft because we're working with IBM." So they just basically fired him. Plus, he was a bit of a maverick anyway. Booz Allen doesn't build products. They just charge people for consulting and doing stuff.
Got it.
Anyway.
Yeah. But, fun. You know, things have come a long way. So now we have all kinds of facial recognition, and you could take someone's picture with your phone and convert files.
Yeah.
And everything.
Oh, it's amazing. And just like the what the phone can do compared to what computers could do back then. And, you know, the phone I have is 10 times more powerful than that PC that we were working on back in 93.
For sure. Right? Which was more powerful than the punch card systems they had in the 50s when they couldn't even get it in the room because things were so big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was all fast. Yeah. Okay. So how long did you work for them? You stayed in corporate for a while?
Yeah, I worked for Booz Allen, and then I hired a guy. Well, actually, a guy that was working with me, I hired him as a consultant, and he was making more money than me, and I was his boss. So I said, okay.
So he's like an independent contractor as a consultant?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He always make more money.
And so I said, well, that's for me. That's what
that
I want.
Doesn't make sense, right? Exactly.
So I did that for a while. And then
so you became a consultant?
Yeah. Okay. And then so I did that for a while, and that was going great. And then a company that I had worked for before wanted me back for another project. And I said, okay, well, just pay me my rate. Oh, no, you have to be an employee. And we're only going to pay you $72,000.
And that's compared to what? You're making more than that.
Yeah, I was making like $135,000 at the time. So I said, the math doesn't add up. And he said, well, we're going to sell the company in a year, so we'll give you a bonus of $135,000 at the end of the year. So you, in the end, in 1 year, you'll make $210,000.
Okay.
I said, okay, all right. So what's not to like about that?
Right.
So except for they didn't sell the company.
Okay. Right.
And 16 years later, I'm still with them. And I had all this stock and all that. It's a long mess.
So you're still with them now?
I was with them.
So you ended up staying with them for 16 years?
I did. It was horrible. Because every time you turn around, it was like, you know, you create something that works, and it was actually being sold internationally by Computer Associates. So that's got to be worth something, right?
Right.
But the owners just couldn't. They fought. They tripped over each other to screw things up. And in the end, they told me they couldn't pay me anymore.
Now, what did they sell? What did they manufacture?
It was a software package that analyzed database structures, looked at the relational as how it applied to relational theory. I know that's fascinating stuff. But
well, ironically, now data and big data and data analysis is what's driving everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean,
right. But what most people were interested in then was called SQL tuning.
Okay.
It's like, and I'm
I remember
sure
that
people
word.
Are really yeah. thrilled with this.
We'll get into all the good yeah. stuff soon. Yeah. But yeah.
But in other words, I want the data to come out faster. But what we did was say, it doesn't matter how fast it comes out if it's the wrong data.
Well, obviously.
And that's what we were selling. And so, but again, that was hard to sell because if you sell it to a DBA who is in charge of the data, it's going to show his boss how he screwed up. And if you show it to his boss, he's not going to understand it. And he's going to say, hey, does this make sense to his DBA? And he's going to say, well, no, we don't really need that because, again, it's showing where he screwed up. So it was just kind of a challenge to sell it. But still, Computer Associates was selling it around the country, but anyway, that's just another bad memory that we.
Well, but it led you to where you are now, so you don't want to change it. So
absolutely.
So after 16 years, that was like early 90s, right? Mid almost.
No,
90s.
No. We were. This was
by close to 2000.
By the time, yeah, this is what. That's how, why we moved to Atlanta, because I was out of a job. And so, plus, I had been worked with my daughter's charity.
Where was the job before? You were in the DC area?
In Maryland. And yeah. Okay. And while I was doing that job for 16 years, I was also busy building, actually helping my dog build one charity and then my daughter build a second one. But we were working on that, my daughter's charity that she had built when she was 9. And it was actually a pretty big deal. So, and we had an event in Atlanta. So I said, well, as long as I'm going to be out of a job, I might as well go to where this event is going to be. So we picked up, we just put a for sale sign on the house, left. And we knew one person from Twitter in Atlanta. And that was the guy who was having our event
fundraiser for your daughter's charity.
Well, yeah, it was actually an event where the charity was called Kids Are Heroes. And it was, it empowered kids to actually normalize philanthropy for kids, basically, by showcasing those who had them. So whenever we would have an event, we brought all these kids together, as many of them as could come.
Right.
And we had kids come from Abu Dhabi. We had kids come from Kenya.
Wow.
And
your
South
daughter
Africa.
Started this charity. She's 9.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Impressive.
So yeah. And she was on the Ricky Lake show. We got to meet Richard Branson a couple times because of it. And
cool.
And it was just a phenomenal thing. So if I had been able to continue to get funding for that, I'd still be doing that. But you know, that's another thing is that's not as easy. You know, you moved to Atlanta, people, everybody's got their own charity and
of course
nobody knows
it's a competitive
you, so it's
business.
Really kind of tough.
Yeah, no, it's just like anything else. It's another industry. It's competitive. They're all competing mm-hmm. for dollars,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't imagine how they're doing now. Nobody has any money and they're worried about their own stuff.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So take me through or up to how you started developing the idea for the business card.
Well, we're in Atlanta right now in 2015.
Okay.
I created Digital Accelerant then. I was
Had you been doing for those 15 years? The charity?
And that other job that eventually couldn't pay me. So it was kind of a they left me alone enough so that I could create those charities and build them both up from the ground up.
Got it.
So in the end, I can't really complain because, I mean, I really didn't, be honest with you, the work requirement at that point wasn't very much because they didn't want to do improvements to the software. It was just kind of maintain it. So most of my time was actually spent on the charities when I got a salary, which is kind of weird. So I guess I'm grateful. But then when we moved here, I'm still a software developer. So I got a contract work as a software developer.
Yeah.
When we moved here, so we moved here in 2015, and about 2018, 2019, in that time frame, we moved from Canton, Georgia, to Dallas, Georgia, which is an hour away. So I lost all my networking people, and my contract was about to run out. So I said, you know what? I got to expedite this. You know how long it takes to get people to know you and trust you
right.
in a personal networking environment, whether it be BNI or anything, it takes them a while. So from there, I said, well, I got to expedite this. You know, so how, what can I do? So I figured, well, let me see if I can give people something. I'll work on something for a couple hours, give them something of value, not ask for anything in return. And that way they'll get to know my work ethic, my skill, my this, my that.
Right.
And we'll, you know, we'll get to bond together over what we're doing it. I don't know. What should that be? Who knows? Maybe a digital business card. I had one myself that I had made. It was a PDF file. And I said, well, maybe I can take this. And no, that was a piece of junk. So I scrapped it. And I,
Originally it was for you to use. It was like,
it was a PDF.
Listen, file. I'm a computer guy, so I don't want a hard card. I want a technology card. So you made your own. That was like the first iteration of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And why'd you say it was junk? Like it didn't do anything?
Well, you have to have a PDF reader. And at the time, the readers weren't as prolific.
Right. They were all built in.
Like right. And it was, you couldn't really share it that easily. And it just wasn't good. So I redesigned it as an HTML landing page and started, said it, say, hey, anybody who wants one, they're free. And they lined up, boy, they loved it. So it worked a lot better than I thought it would. And so we, basically the whole group got them. And then we put that group on a page so that we could, on one page, so we could refer each other out. And at this point, it was just sending the URL, which you can still do with our cards. They're very easy to share.
Yeah.
Because they're just like you're sharing any URL.
Yeah, it's a website, basically. Right. A mobile website.
And and then, as anything that I do, I'm always working to improve it. So we added audio to it. Then we added video to it. Then when we added the texting, it was kind of a game changer. But at some point, I never really thought. I said, well, people aren't going to pay for these. I mean, they like them, but they're not going to buy them. And then so the mortgage guy, well, he had somebody in his office.
They can't design them.
So the mortgage guy wanted one because his buddy wanted one and I didn't know him. I said, okay, well, maybe I'll charge him. And then the other mortgage person wanted one. Then I said, well, yeah, maybe they're buying them, but I really can't charge enough money because I was only charging like $100 for them at the time.
One time?
Yeah, it was just like that was it.
And that was it. No subscription base, nothing.
Right, nothing, right. So,
But at that point, there wasn't a service you needed to use, right? Once the guy had the URL, he could just email it to anybody.
Right, but still, I'm still maintaining the thing.
True, right.
But so that's how that worked. And then as things got progressed and as we started using the texting and I had all these self-imposed ceilings that I had on my head saying, well, you can't do this. That's not going to work. Maybe a side gig, maybe not. But as soon as I realized, wait a minute, if I sold this to a real estate brokerage, like a company.
Yeah.
And they have like 500 agents.
Yeah. Here's one for every one of their agents.
Absolutely.
Financial services companies. There's all kinds.
And so that's really when I said, well, maybe I should, because I can only work so many hours and can only charge so much for my time. So there's an immediate ceiling there, right? So if I do it with my card, or if I sell the cards, there's no ceiling. So I really switched over. I think it was about September of 2019 is when I started really kind of focusing on selling them.
Really about 6 months before the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
Right.
And so September, October, great. November, December, not so good. People say, talk to me after the holidays, right? January, February, awesome. March, not so good because the pandemic hits. And then I think, well, now I'm SOL again, right? I'm dead.
Right.
Because I did all my stuff networking.
Yeah. Then, in person.
That's what I did too.
I was like, what the hell am I going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So luckily I found these networking groups and they had breakout rooms. I thought the breakout rooms are a brilliant way to get people together. And I said, well, I can do that. So, that's how I've found you. I forget how I found Jennifer.
Through Jen. Group, I think you came to one of Jen Gilman's events.
Yeah, but I'm not sure how I found that one, but that's how I found you.
Yeah, I don't know. I got an email. I'm Jen's in my community. I got an email from Jen and then I met you and Ron Kaniak. I go to an attorney group now in Florida. He's down there. We picked up some people there. And it's just kind of snowballed. I mean, people were hungry to find groups. Mm-hmm. So the platform was there for you to set up networking groups. It was a brilliant idea,
Yeah. Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant.
use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000, that's L-A-W to 21000, to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
Yeah, so that's kind of that brings, you know, that's where we are now. But basically, we created our own networking group. This is 45th week coming up. So we're coming up to a year on that.
Right. Now, I would assume even once things start going back to normal, you're still going to do online because you connect with people all over the country now, right?
Yeah. There's no way I'm giving this up. And there's no way a lot of people, I mean, it was funny. Our BNI group, they couldn't wait. They couldn't, I can't stand this Zoom crap. Let's go in person. I got to go in person because that's the way, you know, the BNI way and all that.
Right. Of course.
And so they said, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to go to the restaurant in January. And you have to have a hybrid, the way BNI set it up.
This January?
This
January, month.
We were supposed to go like in the first beginning of January here to the restaurant. But BNI said, but you have to have a hybrid meeting because half Zoom, half in person, because for the people that will refuse to put themselves at risk like that.
Right.
So they said, okay, no problem. But 85% had to agree to do it. And 85% of the group did.
To go in person?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, and I was not one of the 85%, by the way.
But I don't blame you.
So then it came to time to actually do it. And then all of a sudden people, you know what? I don't know if I really want to do that. And, you know, so they all started backing out.
Yeah.
And so there's only like four people that wanted to do it.
So that, there and you
finally
go.
Finally said, never mind. But the point is, I don't think that was all because of risk, of health risk. It was because of convenience. One guy
for
even
sure.
said, you know, he's coming up. He said, I got to come down from the mountain every Thursday to drive to Kennesaw to get to this meeting. And now I don't. Are you kidding me?
What's the point?
So the meetings, they're here forever, man.
By the way, the hybrid meetings also, we did this. I have a Friday group and we did a hybrid thing in the fall, like before things spiked again. Mm-hmm. So there were like three of us would go to the office. There's like 10, 15 people in the group. And the other people were on Zoom. So you can't just like walk around and talk. You have to be on your laptop anyway.
Right.
You have to interact with the people on Zoom. So finally I said to my friend Jenny, I said, Jenny, this is stupid. I'm coming to your office for us to put earbuds on. If you didn't put earbuds on, by the way, it would echo through the other laptops and you'd hear yourself in stereo.
Yeah.
And Charlie was he was like, yeah, this is dumb. So we all went back on Zoom because you can't do a hybrid. My kids were doing that in school and they would have to go. The kids, this is what they got to do. You're sitting in class, right? You have a question for the teacher. Let's assume the teacher's even in the class.
Right.
You take your earbuds off, you ask the question, and then you have to put your earbuds back on so you can hear her telling everybody. So finally my kid said, this is stupid. I could just be home.
Right.
And they all went virtual.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard to do hybrid.
Yep.
Hybrid meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Just everybody should be on Zoom and they're in their little box. So, look, there have been silver linings to different businesses during the pandemic. And certainly yours is one of them because it kind of transformed the way you promote your business. You're now able to reach people. I mean, because I guess what would happen is you would work from chapter to chapter. You'd connect with people and present it in another area, get people to use it. Now, They all could come to the same meeting.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it was, I would work in my BNI group in the morning, and then I'd go to a KBA luncheon in the afternoon. And then at night I'd go to another social there for real estate agents.
But it was all local.
Yeah. It was all local. Come home, right. Be, you know, some local, yes, but some of them are like in Atlanta, which is like an hour away.
Right.
So
I know.
It ends at 8:30, 8:40. Right. You drive an hour back home.
Well, in Atlanta, an hour, you could drive like 3 miles and take you an hour.
Well, yeah.
Traffic's ridiculous.
At this point, it's at 9 o'clock at night. So, but
not so,
so
bad.
You're fine. But at the same time, you get home like 9:45 and you're like ready to just hit the sack. And I mean, and then you do that all the next day. And so, I mean, I'm not complaining because that was, I enjoy that kind of stuff, but it was very tiring. But now I can do, you know, I lose track of how many meetings I can.
Yeah, you could do 6 meetings a day, and you just,
yeah, easily.
I mean, you had to go to the bathroom. That's about all you got to do besides that.
Yeah.
All right. So you are, just so everybody's listening, you're one of our sponsors, and your information, connection, how to reach you is in every one of our show notes. So any show that comes out Tuesday, Fridays, this is going to be a special Wednesday release because it's a highlight of our sponsors. Mm-hmm. I do have one other sponsor, Fetch Internet, which is like an app that connects you to the internet. He was on the podcast before you, but he wasn't a sponsor then. So we weren't talking about that. So you're the first sponsor. But
cool. So
just so people listening, we're not going to look for the links. You can find any show and the links are in the show notes. So let's talk about though the card itself, because I want to highlight, you know, like what it does and the things it can do, because every card's a little different, right? Everybody's got a little different things going on. So you want to give me some examples about what people do with these things?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of cards out there now, especially now because everybody's getting on the bandwagon. But really, it was almost like a perfect storm because how it got designed was I'm also a networker. So I'm a lot of times a software developer, you try and translate the value of things to the software developer, a lot gets mixed. And then the person who's designing it is a marketing person.
He's not the
doesn't
user.
Doesn't actually do what the thing is for. So, for me, I'm the painter, the janitor, and I take out the trash and all that. So I have the ability to understand what networkers want and then go implement it in a software, in a piece of software. So that's really, that's one of the things that's really cool about it. But in the beginning, for me, in anything that I've done, and that had to do with the same thing with the charity, we didn't meet Richard Branson by accident. That was because we did things out of the box in social media and got, you know, and same thing.
And he wanted to see what you were doing.
Right. And the same thing with Ricky Lake. We didn't get on her show by accident. We did things marketing wise that made us stand out. And so, and that has been everything that I've ever done. If you're a small group or a small person in this big world and you're trying to stand out, you've got to do things that are out of the box.
Right.
So that's where the design of the card came, where first of all, it's customized. Everyone is customized so that it's not going to look like the other digital cards.
Right. It's your brand.
Right. Absolutely. Your brand.
Right.
All the buttons are hot links to this, to your social media channels, et cetera, et cetera. There's video you can have video right on your card. You can have your appointments right on your card. Your, is any link you want basically is available. But really the texting was, that's how we get our card out. So when people text, like for me, it's Gabe to 21,000. If you text the word Gabe to the number 21,000, my card lands on your phone in about 6 seconds.
Right.
And so how that, just the ability to be able to do that is so much better than any other way on Zoom. I mean, it was funny. I was in a Zoom call today in a breakout room, and I went, I finished, and then the guy that came up to me after me, he was supposed to say his, and he said, "Hold on a second, I'm blown away." He says, "Gabe, I have to ask you this question." He said, "How many people text your keyword when you're in a breakout room?" And I was honest with him. I said, sometimes I get crickets because, you know, it just depends on the crowd.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get crickets, but sometimes I get almost everybody. And it turned out, including him, there was 3 out of 4 people texted my keyword in that particular thing. So, but again, it's something that nobody else had that.
Now, I wonder if I share my screen, will this show up in the video? I'm pulled up I have a link, you know, I have a bookmark. I don't know if this is going to show up.
I think it does. I think
see that?
I think I do believe that it will show up.
Just, okay, good. So we'll give it a try. So this is the business card that Gabe designed for me. Mm-hmm. Ironically enough, my cover art on the podcast has changed. So maybe at some point we'll update it. But right. This takes me to all my social media. Now, I do know that there's, what's the keyword? Like if people want to see all the cards to it's see cards. What people are doing.
Cards to 21,000. Oh, C-A-R-D-S.
Okay, C-A-R-D-S to 21,000. Mm-hmm. And they will get back. Like on their phone, you just scroll through them all? Is that what it is?
You can scroll through. They're basically large thumbnails, but it shows you what they look like. And if you're interested in any one of them, you can click through to them and get the actual digital card. So yeah.
Right. And I know people have where you can put your email in. They have videos. They have all kinds of stuff depending on how they want to design it, right?
Right. And so really, but it's much more than just an elaborate digital business card, because it actually gets you business. I tell people, that the success of the card is commensurate on how well you promote it.
Right.
So I have a client named Jaden who got his card on the 6th of December, just this past year, 2020. And in his first month, he had 139 people text him. He got a 500% return on his investment. And basically, and I just interviewed him yesterday. I'm learning from guys like you. I'm doing, it's not a podcast, but it's an interview series where I do like 15 minutes. And he went through how he actually did all that. And he said he was getting four calls a month, discovery calls a month. And
what does he do?
He's a CPA. So if you text CPA to 21,000, you get.
Oh, he got it. He got the CPA keyword.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, okay. He did.
And, well, I got law, so you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he said that what he did was he got it out there, and he was getting four discovery calls a month, and in that first month he got 16, and he closed well over $10,000. He said well over 500% return on his investment in the first in his first month. And as of yesterday, he had 173 people text him. So it's not like he slowed down. I mean, he's still killing. He's just,
well, how is he? Because I'm always learning from you. So how is he using it? Because, you know, my issue, I email people. Like I have a mailing list. So what happens is people text me and then I respond back to them. I offer them, I forget, something free to send me their email. And sometimes they bet half and half. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. I even offer them, if they sign up and mention me, I give them a free T-shirt from the podcast. I haven't gotten too many of those, but mm-hmm. how is he using it when they text?
So that was one of the questions. Everybody wants to know, well, how do you get 500%?
Right.
Honestly, not every card owner is doing that. Hopefully they're getting at least, 100% or whatever. So what he's doing, and it was actually kind of interesting, and it's going to be published as soon as I produce that video, it's going to be out there. But what he said was, he basically doesn't just tell people to text the keyword. He gives something of value, whether that be on, he does a lot on LinkedIn and actually he's using Clubhouse. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
I am familiar with it. I'm not an Apple user, but I know for right. now, so at least apparently it's only available on the Apple
platform. Well, the way Clubhouse works, it's a brand new social media system where it's just all voice, where you go into rooms and you chat with people.
Right, it's all audio.
Using your voice.
Okay.
It's all audio, and there's no recording of it and all that. But if you, and you can go in a room of two people or 200 people, whatever it is.
So how do you know who you're talking to if all these people are talking in the dark?
I don't know exactly how it works, but he says he goes in one of those rooms and he starts offering advice or little tidbits of value for as a CPA.
Right, like tax advice because he's a CPA.
Yeah, and then they start to follow him and he tells them, if you want to get on my calendar, text CPA to 21,000 and they do it. So he's getting, he's a perfect client because he's working the card the way it's supposed to.
So his card has a link to his calendar?
Yeah.
Okay.
As do many of them, almost all of them do now. We didn't do that for you?
I don't think I was using an online calendar when we set this up.
Well, there we go.
That was something I discovered later on when I was wasting so much time trying to schedule one-on-one chats and somebody sent me this link to Calendly and I was like, oh, that's a great idea. I said that.
Yeah, but if you have it on your digital card, what's really cool for me is somebody, the one thing that's strong about the card is when you give out your keyword, they text it and you get back with them. You get their cell phone number, you text them back. But the second part of it is when you get people to remember your keyword. So, you know, when you when you're in any of your networking groups, you should always start with text law to 21,000 to get my information, because there's going to be a time when that person, somebody says, do you know a business lawyer? And they'll just be able to jump up. Yes. Just text law to 21,000.
Right now I do. You know what I do? I do like you do it. I don't have it set up for the podcast, but I do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
So I mention it and I have the keyword there. So people see it, like you have Gabe to 21,000 behind you. Yeah.
Well,
and I tell people to do that. Yeah. And I do get responses out of nowhere.
Right. And that's really the benefit where people, you know, I get these all the time, and sometimes I get them. Somebody else tells them to text Gabe, and then they see my calendar and they jump right on my calendar. So that person is in my sales funnel and I didn't do squat to get them in there. Basically. Yeah.
Well, you know, we'll do maybe in a month or so. I got to get some cash together for you. We'll update the card because my graphics have changed anyway for the podcast, and we can add a link to my calendar because that would get them in my. So if they if they get on my calendar, then they're in my marketing system too, because their email goes from there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
My MailChimp. So that would solve that problem. But I mean, look, I don't know anybody who said, well, this was stupid. You know, I mean, and by the way, you know, out of fairness, there are other. There's competition out there. I mean, there's other companies that are doing it, but they don't seem to be doing it, you know, the right way, the way you're doing it. First of all, and I would say this, you know, I don't want to put your words in your mouth, but this is my, you know, evaluation of it. If you find a digital business card out there for like $20 or $25, it's got to be junk, because you know that this takes, you know, time and effort to set up and maintain and so forth.
Well, I'm not saying. Well, I don't put it quite that way. I do say that if price is a most important to you, then we probably are not the right company to go with. But those cards are just electronic business cards. That's what they're designed to do. That's all they do. With us, we do not only do we, you know, we give you the card, we give you the lanyard that you can wear at events. I mean, and we're you know, we support it. We offer networking events. There's so many ancillary things that we offer in conjunction to support the card to get you more business. That's why it's a little bit, and it's not even pricey. Most people, I've been told that I'm crazy to be selling it at this price, that I should at least double it.
Yeah, right now, as of now, it's $500 to set it up, right?
$499, right?
And that's to do the whole layout and everything you want.
Yeah.
And then it's what? What do you charge me?
$13.95 a month. But and the other thing, though,
nothing.
The other thing that that's out there that we have available is the analytics part, and I'm not sure if you're signed up for that or not.
I don't think so. So you can measure the analytics of what's coming through the pipeline, so to speak. The people that are going there and texting.
I'm addicted to it, because really what happens when, you know, when I'm in a Zoom meeting. And I know that people texted my keyword. I want to find out who it is. So it gives you the name. So you can query it and say, okay, who texted my card in the last, say, 7 days or 30 days, whatever you want. You can take that information, stick it in, you know, in a CSV file to put it right into your CRM. You can put it to a PDF file or even an Excel spreadsheet. But I definitely
don't have that service, because that was one of my issues, finding out who was behind the number that I'm getting.
Right. And well, again, and so I use that all the time, because I will be in the meeting and I will be able to identify which ones did it, because I know, you know, and so and that gives me a better way of you know, like if a person already has set up a meeting with you, it's kind of awkward if you're texting them again to say, hey, you got my card, you want it? Oh no, we don't, you remember, we already set up a meeting. So it avoids that kind of stuff,
right?
And yeah, so it's very, so the I know the other digital cards don't do all that. So, you know what, again, this is written by a guy who networks, who has the power to put whatever feature he wants in his own networking thing and then do that. So I think that's really where the magic happens, because, and also when, you know, when I get my clients, they'll say, well, what if it had this? And I didn't think of it. I said, oh man, like one of my clients came to me and said, can I do a video background? 'Cause I'm a travel agent and I want it to do just video. And I
like
said,
a moving background.
Yeah, absolutely. And I said, no, but that's a hell of an idea. And so I did it. And since it was her idea, I didn't charge her any upcharge for it. There is an upcharge for that. But now we have two, actually both travel agents. That it's just all.
I think you showed it to me. It's like on a beach, right, with waves and stuff like that.
And it actually has the sound to it that you can turn it on. And when and if you watch it, you just shoulders just kind of relax and everything. You just kind of, oh, man, I wish I was there. But she tells me that her clients go to sleep with that thing on. You know, I mean, it, which is, I mean, you can't ask for anything stronger than that.
Right, exactly.
And then I have a new client now who's, I just showed him the video part and he says, yeah, that's what they're going to, it's a company. Their company's going to go with a video background. So, and nobody else is doing that. So again, it's all about just trying to, you know, I'm always trying to improve it, always trying to, you know, because it's, because software is living, breathing, it's an entity. It just doesn't, you know, if you stop developing it, it'll die. So it's always fun to add more stuff to keep it going.
And people can go to your website and Digital Accelerant and they can get on your mailing list. Cause I know there are people that come to the networking events that don't necessarily have the card yet, but somehow they're on your mailing list, right?
Right. Yeah. If you text my keyword,
Gabe,
Gabe to 21,000, you can, my website's right on there. And then,
well, if they text Gabe to 21,000, does that add them to your ad? No, they don't get added to the mailing
list. I don't necessarily get my email list unless they download. There's a white paper that I offer if they give me their email list, and those folks will go in my drip campaign. So, but yeah, but anybody who registers for my networking event, they're going to go in there too. So yeah.
Right. And you have several events a week, don't you?
Usually just one, but sometimes it's two.
Right. But they move around the calendar. They're not the same day every week.
It's either,
times.
Well, actually now I'm trying something different just to see if, you know, because people have opinions about everything. They're always telling me something
different.
Well,
of course. Yeah.
But so for the, at least through the month of February, they're going to be Thursdays at one starting next Thursday. So maybe if people get on a regular schedule, it might, you know, because I see a really, you know, people who loved it and then they're not there the next week because it's on a different day. So,
right. So, well, I think it cuts both ways. You know, my schedule is obviously all over the place too. So sometimes I might not be able to make Thursday 1 o'clock that week, but next week it's Tuesday at two. And I'm like, oh, I'm available then. So but it does take some effort to follow you. And
yeah, I think that's the problem. It's the effort that it takes. And, you know, people are lazy. They don't want to. And like
well, they're
stuff.
Creatures of habit. They want everything just so.
Right.
You know, but look, I register for your events. I put it on my calendar and it's blocked off and it's good. They got to make some effort.
Right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your support of the podcast. And I also am glad that we met. Definitely all the people that I've connected with through COVID has been, you know, valuable. Now I'm connected with you and all of your group down in Atlanta and from that branched off to all kinds of things. So I encourage people highly if they want to grow their business and they want to market, not only should they text Gabe and text cards to 21,000 so they can see what's going on, but come to an event and meet the people and see what they're doing and then, you know, gets hooked up. Now, I also, every once in a while, you run, you know, specials and sales depending on the holidays and stuff. So people should also watch for that, right? I mean, they go to.
Well, yeah, but the more. I'm going to do less and less of that just because just about discounting my work.
Yeah,
it's
you
already,
don't have to.
Already really cheap. And
of course.
And so there's no real need to. But I only did that when I needed the money.
Right. Well, look, that's a demand, the supply and demand thing, right?
Right, right.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you coming on and being the first spotlight on sponsors or something like that. I'll have to call it something like that.
Hey, I always like being the first, right?
Yeah. And we'll get this out in a week or two. I got to get it edited and then up. So the links will be in the show notes. Everybody knows how to get a hold of you. And I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Well, and conversely as well, I mean, I'm always trying to send folks to, like I'll always say, do you know Mitch Beinhacker? And most people say, yeah, I know Mitch.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Yeah, it's good.
I get around.
So as a matter of fact, I was showing somebody this morning, you know, the cards, the 21,000. And I was scrolling by your card and she says, Mitch, you know, she yelled out.
You know, I know a lot of people, but unlike you, you could do business with people anywhere in the country. I'm a little landlocked because of the legal restrictions and stuff. So it's a little bit more difficult. Now, can you do business? I know we've talked about this, but I don't know if this changed in other countries. Like, can you do Canada? Can you do London? Can you do?
Well, the URL works,
right?
But the texting doesn't. And from what I understand, there's the texting rules of certain countries make it more difficult. Make, you know, so right now, I mean, the market in the United States is so, for lack of a better term, virgin for me. I mean, there's just so
there's plenty of business here.
I haven't penetrated anything as far as a market share. So, that's what I'm focusing on. Plus, you know, like even if I went to Canada, they've got what, one third the population, if that, or whatever it is,
right?
Up there.
I'm just curious because we have met people from Canada and London.
That's No, we do, and they're always when is it going to be ready here? You know, you give me the cash now and maybe I'll work on it.
Now, wasn't there a way to do it through WhatsApp or something?
That was part of the thing that I was looking at the time. But again,
only focus on so much stuff. I mean,
Exactly. Right now, what I'm focusing on is companies. Because when you take it to a company, you only have to create that one card that's custom, and you can roll out that design to many, many different salespeople or brokers or loan officers or whatever. And so I'm focusing on that, and that is and I've gotten a couple, one I sold and another one hopefully next week, and once we get going on that, the idea is to start hiring people and grow the business in a steady way, but not crazy, but steady. And then we'll eventually address things like that, like working in Canada.
Of course.
Right now it's
not worth it. Important. Yeah. So now for anybody out there who's got a business with salespeople or a sales force or things like that, people that market for them. I mean, it's not only less expensive per person, right? After you set up the main card, but it's probably less expensive than actually printing cards
the ROI is amazing, because again, it's very cost effective when you only have to pay a certain amount per, you know, the setup fee for the one card is $4.99. For the salespeople, it's only $149. That's almost throwaway money. And guess what? They get their own leads, and so they get to manage their own leads, and actually the manager or whomever can look at everybody's leads, see who's doing what, see, well, this person's not doing it, not cutting it.
Right.
I mean, and imagine it, if everybody gets whatever the high ticket item is, one or two more of those per month because of the card. And now you extrapolate that across your whole sales force, and you're only paying like $149. I mean, again, it's just crazy.
Even with the monthly cost, if you add up and go through cards on a yearly basis, it's going to cost you a lot more than that, even if the company's paying the fee.
Yeah.
So it's an interactive thing. It's not some static card that people throw in a drawer.
It makes the salespeople memorable. It elevates the company's digital profile.
Right.
There's so many positive things that it does for them. I mean, you go in any Zoom call and I'll challenge anybody to go to any Zoom call and ask somebody who's got 21,000 or where, or just ask somebody who doesn't even have a card, you know, hey, what's this keywords to 21,000? Three out of four will say, text Gabe to 21,000 to find out.
Right,
they know me, even if they don't have a card.
Yep, they do know you. So people listening to the episode, you're in the opening, you're in the mid, the commercial in the middle, and you're in the show notes. So there's no excuse for people not to contact you. And I tell people all the time, if you don't have a digital business card, what the hell are you, what the hell's holding you back?
What are you doing?
More business?
What are you doing?
Too much work? You know, I mean, look, I would, the last person I would think would be killing it with this thing would be a CPA, a professional like me. I would think it would be somebody who has, you know, some sort of product or whatever, but you tell me this guy's killing it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's the person who's using it, not what they do for a living, I think, that really matters.
Right. Exactly. As I said, the success of the card is commensurate on how well you promote it. I had a business coach of all people use it and said, I didn't get the ROI. I was really disappointed. And I invited him to meeting after meeting after meeting, which he got on for the first 5 minutes and got off. And, you know, so
because he's not using it, he's not promoting it. He's not, it's not your fault.
No, I mean, it's not even, it's not the card's fault that you don't promote it. No, I tell people you got to promote it. Oh, and I showed him how to promote it, and he's a business coach. So that's what's
not a testimonial to him.
No.
Well, look, we're our local Chamber of Commerce, we have the same thing where people go, oh, you know, I don't get any business from the Chamber of Commerce. I go, I've never even seen you at a meeting. What do you mean? You know, you got to put time in. Right, you got to use the thing.
Right.
You know, if I don't tell people that I have text law to 21,000 over my head there, how are they going to use it?
Exactly.
So you got to put it everywhere. Yep. So, Gabe, I appreciate it very much. And text Gabe to 21,000. That's all I can tell people.
I appreciate you. It has been great to. That's one of the things that I'm having the most fun in my life right now, because I get to meet all these people. I have a relationship with every single one of my card owners, but and some I like more than others. You're one of the ones that I like more than others.
Well, certainly, Gabe, you paid your dues like some people have in work and corporate America and whatever, and you deserve to be happy with, you know, doing what you like to do.
Yeah, thanks. So
I appreciate it. Thanks, Gabe.
Yep. All right, cool.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.